Today's reading is from John. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white, sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.'" Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. The word of God for the people of God.
Well, once again, it's my privilege to wish you a happy Easter today. We're so glad that you are with us, especially those who are visiting with us, who are guests. Maybe you live here in Indianapolis. It's just your first time to try us out here at St. Luke's, and we hope you will be back. Let us know what we can do to be of help finding out more about the church or answering questions that you may have. I want to thank a lot of the volunteers who have done so much work to help us today. People out in the parking lot, driving the shuttle buses, folks who prepared breakfast earlier, our music folks, and Jim Morrow, his team, for preparing our beautiful Easter display. And after worship, you may want to get a picture up here. You might want to get a selfie. You might want to get a picture with your family. And feel free to do that. This is not roped off space. Just come on up. Feel free to get a picture before you leave today. I invite you to take out your outline for the sermon this morning and hope this will be useful as we think about the message today. We're going to learn some Greek, so you'll want to make sure you write down the Greek lessons today. We're going to think about responses of faith, and we're going to think about where we are in our own faith with the Easter story. So as we prepare for the message, would you join me now in a word of prayer? Loving God, open now our minds, but most importantly, our hearts, to be grasped by the powerful, hopeful message of Easter, so that it can truly grasp us in a way that helps us live life with hope in you. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. Well, this Holy Week started with a couple of interesting events. First, Tiger Woods won the Masters last Sunday. I know that's not necessarily a spiritual thing, but many people are calling it the greatest comeback in sports history, and this is a day that celebrates comebacks. This was the longest period that somebody won the Masters between the two titles, 14 years. And Tiger no doubt came back from personal failure, incredible physical setbacks to hoist the Masters trophy again. Then, within 24 hours, the Cathedral of Notre Dame in Paris burned. I was especially struck by this picture that was taken the day after the fire. When I saw this image, I thought about the verse from the hymn, "In the cross of Christ I glory, towering over the wrecks of time." The cross towers over the wrecks of time. You see, everything in this world at some point crumbles. All of the great things that have been made by human achievement will crumble. All of the greatest trophies that we could ever lift up will crumble at some time. But the one thing that lasts forever is the truth of God's love and God's mercy. That's the one thing in this world that lasts. And we can claim that because of Easter. Easter means that God turns tragedy into triumph. God can do what is humanly impossible. God can take something that is a firm end and allow it to be just a beginning. Easter reminds us that at any moment in life, God can burst upon the scene and present that resurrection, new possibility power. And when it happens, it's usually a shocking thing. John Ortberg tells about a friend of his who is a denominational leader in Minnesota. He has an unusual job. He goes around the state of Minnesota conducting funerals for people in communities that are so small they don't have a church. So he's gotten to know the funeral directors very well. They've traveled many miles together. One day, after a particular funeral, and they had several hours to drive back home, he said to the director, I'm exhausted. Do you mind if I climb in the back and take a nap on the ride home? There wasn't a casket back there. It was empty, after all. The funeral director said, sure, go on back there. There was this nice little cushioned pillow he could even put his head on. So he gets in the back. He falls asleep. At some point in the journey, the funeral director pulls into a service station to get gasoline. The attendant comes out. He's pumping the gas, and he looks in the back of the hearse. And he's like, usually they put those bodies in a casket. He was getting creeped out looking at this body lying in the back of the... So he turns his back to it so he doesn't have to look at it while the gas is pumping. Well, while the gas is pumping, the pastor wakes up. And he's looking around. He doesn't know where they are, and he sees this guy standing there. So he bangs on the window. The guy slowly turns around. The pastor yells through the window, can you tell me where I am right now? He's never seen a guy run so fast as that gas station attendant. You know, when you get used to something being dead, life's usually more comfortable if it stays that way. When you get used to something being dead, life's more comfortable with it staying that way. So let's begin with an affirmation of what this day means. You'll see this at the top of your outline. Easter means we live in a world inhabited by a God who can encounter us at any moment with unexpected possibility. In the season leading up to today, the season of Lent, every week we've looked at encounters people had with Jesus in the Gospel of John. And today we wrap that up looking at the three different encounters people had at the empty tomb. They all three represent a different experience of faith. And as we consider these this morning, I want you to consider which one resembles your faith the most right now. Almost all three of these experiences could probably touch somebody at any point in their life and in their faith. And maybe there's going to be one that you say, that looks like me today. And with each one, I want us to consider a response to that experience of faith. The story begins that it was dark when Mary went to the tomb. It's unusual that John should say it's dark because the other three gospels all agree it was daylight. They say at sunrise, early in the morning. But as we've come to learn in the Gospel of John, John uses lots of symbolism. He's not talking about the time of day. He's talking about the state of soul. It's a dark time for Mary. And we all can probably understand when we're in a dark time, we're not typically looking for God. So Mary arrives, finds the tomb empty, and for her, there's only one logical conclusion. Grave robbers have stolen the body. So she runs back to tell the two disciples, Peter and John. They run to the tomb, but John outruns Peter. He arrives first. And we read, he bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Note the word saw. There are a number of different words in Greek for the word to see or to behold. Different words with different meanings. This first word for saw means the physical sense of sight. It's the Greek word blepo. Blepo. It literally means to see the objects that are in front of you, the physical ability to see. So John, without going into the tomb, peers in. He sees these objects. Now, Peter arrives next, and Peter goes into the tomb first. We're going to come back to him in a minute. For right now, let's stick with John. When John goes into the tomb, here's all it says. He saw and believed. But this time, the word saw is a different word. It's a different word, idu. Idu. It means understanding. Sort of like when we say to somebody, I see what you mean. It's not about physical sight, it's about insight. In other words, John could see the physical realities in front of him, but he was seeing through them at the same time. And he was seeing that in these things, God's at work. Have you ever been able to do that? In John's experience, we would say he represents the faith of the person who sees things the way they are and also sees God's hand working through them. He sees things the way they are and yet sees God working through them. I had a little taste of this the other night. I was working on the Easter sermon at home and I was down in my man cave and I'm thinking about a point in the message and I look up and I start studying this picture. It's a picture of Lake Junaluska, North Carolina. Usually it hangs in our living room, but we took it down at Christmas. It got put in my man cave, which is also the storage room in our house. And I'm thinking, it's time that picture gets back upstairs, and that's about all it took for me to forget the sermon and get distracted. And all of a sudden, a thought comes to me I've not considered in years. I'm looking at the picture, and I thought about, what was the first time in my life I heard about Lake Junaluska, North Carolina? I was a freshman in college. I was a pre-ministerial student. So I worked at churches on the weekend to make a little money. So when the semester started, my work started. When it ended at the end of the school year, that job ended. It was about this time of year, the end of the semester was in front of us, and the pastor said to me, what are you going to do this summer? And I said, honestly, I have no idea. I don't have anything lined up. He said, have you ever considered working at Lake Junaluska? I said, wow, Juno, Alaska, sounds like a long way away. He said, no, Junaluska. That is one of our premier United Methodist retreat centers, and it's right here in North Carolina. It's 3 hours away in the mountains. Every summer, when all of their conferences pick up, they hire college students from around the country who come in and they work in the hotels, they do different jobs. I said, well, sure, I'd be glad to do that. So he called the executive director, put in a good word for me. I got a job that summer washing dishes at the Terrace Hotel. Great summer, but honestly, I had no idea how that experience was going to change my life. A number of years later, I graduate from seminary. I serve a church in England for a year. And while I'm in England, my district superintendent from America takes a vacation. He comes to England and he comes to have lunch with me. And he writes the names of four churches on a napkin. And he said, I want to talk with you about your next appointment when you come home. And he tells me these churches, I've never heard of them. But one of them, he says, is near Lake Junaluska. I said, I've heard of that place. Sign me up for that one. So I go back to serve the church near Lake Junaluska. But before I leave England, I have lunch one day with a guy named Raymond George. Now, I know right now you're thinking, I was really short on material this week, but I promise, this is going somewhere. Stick with me. Raymond George was a past president of the British Methodist Conference. He said, when you get to Junaluska, look up my good friend, Joe Hale. He's the general secretary of the World Methodist Council, so I do. We become good friends. He gives me a scholarship to go on a World Methodist Council trip to the sites of the early Christian creeds. While I'm on that trip, I meet the daughter of a bishop who has gone with her parents on that trip. Her name is Susan Wilkie. And a year later, we get married. But wait, there's more. When we leave those two small churches in the mountains and go to Charlotte 3 years later, we go back to Lake Junaluska, where I served a church right off the grounds for 13 years. While I'm there, this time I get to know a guy who's the president of the Foundation for Evangelism. At the end of my time, when I moved away, a few years later, a member of the leadership transition team from a church in Indianapolis called St. Luke's United Methodist Church called this guy. They said, we're going to be looking for a new senior pastor. Can you suggest any names? He gave my name. I'm in St. Luke's today because of that string of events that I'm sitting there in my study the other night, looking back going, it all started because somebody said to me, what are you doing this summer? Wow. I could see all over again how God has been the thread of the events in my life. Have you ever been able to do that? John, are you here today? Are you with us? Can you see the realities of your life, but you can see a whole lot more? You can also see how God has been a part of your life, working through the things of your life. What is your response today? Maybe God would have you respond by saying, what should I do with this faith? On this Easter day, I'm full of the conviction that God is at work in the world and I see it all around me. So what are you going to do with that faith? The disciple John wrote a gospel. He wrote three letters of the New Testament. He wrote the book of Revelation. In other words, he passed faith on to other people. How might you do that? What mission might you get involved in? What way might you pass on faith to somebody? Maybe right now you can think of people in your world who are hurting, they're sad, and they're not so sure that God's in the picture of their life. Your Easter assignment is to go home today and to write them, to call them, to encourage them, to let them know you're praying for them, and to pray for them. Maybe God would use you as an instrument of faith for children. As you saw in the video a while ago, to help out in Vacation Bible School, to be a part of a summer reading program, to be a tutor. What are you doing this summer? God would want to use your faith to help other people. Well, we come to Peter now. Peter enters the tomb first. And notice what it says. He saw the linen wrappings lying there and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Again, notice the word saw. This is a different word yet. This Greek word for saw is theoreo. Theoreo. It means not just to see something, but to study it, to investigate it, to probe it. Peter's in the tomb looking at all of this and his wheels are turning. He's trying to figure things out. He's investigating here. He's probably thinking, if somebody stole the body, why would they take time to undress it and throw the clothes off on the floor? And then he notices the headcloth that had been on Jesus, neatly rolled up and put in a different place. This is making no sense to Peter, but he's trying to figure it out. When he leaves the tomb, nothing is said. We're led to believe that he leaves with no point of faith being declared. He's investigating it. In other words, he needs some time to figure things out. So Peter represents the experience of faith of the person who needs time to put things together. He needs time to put things together. Peter, are you here today? Are you in that place where you're needing some time to understand it? That if you're honest, you're not so sure you believe this whole Easter business. For you, it still might just be a hoax. Something that's just hard to get your head around. And for some people, that's what faith looks like. It takes a while. It takes understanding and learning and exploring to get to a place where you go, now I've had my own experience. Maybe you've been laid low by life and you're trying to figure some things out today. But you're not just trying to figure out why did you get laid low? Why did things happen the way they did? You're trying to figure out, what's life all about anyway? Is there really a God who is at work in the events of my life? What do you do? What do you do when you want to take seriously the question, is there a God? And what is that God really like? Well, you might try what Peter did. Peter stayed in the company of other disciples, and he went back to Galilee, and eventually he had his own experience of the risen Christ. His day came. It came because he stayed in the company of others who helped him feel alive in his faith. This year during Lent, we met in different groups to discuss the Sunday topics, and my wife Susan and I led a large group here in the fellowship hall, and we had different tables where we would sit and talk with people. One day, I was in a group with a young woman named Blessing Cadiori. Blessing Cadiori, she's from Zimbabwe, and she was responding to the question, when have you felt really alive in your faith? She said, you know, shortly after I moved to Indianapolis, I got to know a number of other people from Africa who were also Christian. Every Sunday evening at 5 o'clock, we would meet in someone's apartment. And there were so many of us, and we couldn't afford big places to live. We would sit literally on top of each other. She said, but every week somebody would start it. They would talk about, what has God done in your life this week? And all of a sudden, everybody was sharing something, and they would sing hymns and praise. She said, my faith was so alive. And I said, you said was. She said, well, we don't meet anymore. As we started making money, and we could afford a little bigger place to live, we all started moving out and getting our own houses, and it just sort of fell apart. We weren't close enough to keep meeting. She said, but you know, I appreciate the blessings I have in my life, but sometimes I wish I could go back to those days when I didn't have a whole lot. I just had friends and God, and it was enough. Maybe your response today, if you can relate to Peter, is to say, you know what, this is the day I need to invest in my spiritual life in a whole new way. Maybe it's been a long time since you've been in worship, but today you know that that's a part of your life that is the one eternal part of your life. And you're saying, I'm going to make a commitment today to start going to worship regularly, to plug in with a group of people who will encourage my faith, and to keep studying, to keep investigating. Maybe that's the commitment today. Last but not least is Mary. Mary remains at the tomb after Peter and John leave. She's the one who sees two angels in the tomb. They ask, why is she weeping? She says, because somebody has stolen the body of my Lord. I don't know where they've laid him. Do you know? And then she becomes aware of Jesus' presence. Notice what it says in verse 14. Mary turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know it was Jesus. Now the word saw here is theoreo again. She's investigating, but she's investigating a bad scene and she's thinking the worst. Have you ever done that? I was with a friend the other day when we heard about the fire in Paris. You know what both of us did right off the bat? Must have been terrorist. Must have been terrorist. You ever looked at something bad and you just think the worst? That's what's going on with Mary. She's investigating, but she's thinking the worst. But notice what it says two verses later after Jesus asked her the same question. Why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for? She says the same thing. And then this time it says, Jesus said to her, Mary. She turned and said to him in Hebrew, Rabboni, which means teacher. Notice, verse 14 says she was already turned around facing Jesus, and now two verses later it says she turned around again. Well, why does it say she turned around again if she's already turned toward him? Could it be that while physically she was facing him, emotionally she was looking the other way? Her attention was still on her loss. Her attention was still on the tomb. Could that be? And Jesus has to call her name to get her to focus on him. Have you ever noticed when somebody calls your name, it makes you look up and notice them? I was in Walmart shopping one time, and a woman was a few feet away from me, and she pulled something off the shelf, and then she all of a sudden said, Rob, what do you think of this? And I turned to look at her, and I did not recognize her. And I knew it had to be somebody from the church. And I am looking and looking, trying to figure, who is this person? So I do what any normal person would do in that situation. I totally faked it. I said, I think that looks great. She said, I was talking to my husband who's standing behind you. I said, I know. I was wanting to make sure you knew which of us was your husband. When somebody calls your name, it makes you tune in. It makes you pay attention. Why did Jesus call Mary's name? Because she, while facing him, was still looking the other way at her loss. And when he called her name, things changed. Now she's really turned toward him. And I know it sounds like I'm stretching a very simple point, but I think there's a powerful truth here that the Easter message for you and me is that when we are so focused on our loss, when we are focused on what we grieve has been taken away from us, Easter Day means we have someone to turn to, someone to whom we can focus, who will give us a new future and might not just restore what we're missing in our lives, but give us something unexpected that we haven't tasted yet. Mary, are you here? Has life taken something away from you recently? And it's just hard to look up right now. Maybe this is a day to turn your heart in a whole new openness toward the source of the Savior who meets you right where you are and can do something unexpected. Julie Andrews was known for her voice. Mary Poppins, The Sound of Music. She starred on Broadway, many musicals. Her voice really defined her. In 1997, it was found that she had nodules on her vocal cords, and she had a surgery to remove them, which many singers have, but this one went horribly wrong. They scarred her vocal cords, and she would never be able to sing again. She slipped into a depression. She was so discouraged one day because this was her identity. She said to her daughter, "What am I going to do now?" And her daughter said, "Well, Mom, you're just going to have to find a new voice. You're going to have to find a new voice." And so she did. She started writing children's books with her daughter. They've written more than 30 children's books now. Many of them have been turned into screen and stage adaptations. Recently, at an interview, Julie Andrews is 83 now. When they were asking her about this new career, she said, "You know, I have found that the line I spoke in The Sound of Music is so very true. When God closes a door, God opens a window." Mary represents the faith experience of the person whose loss and defeat keep them from seeing God's possibilities. If that's your experience today, maybe this is the day to just open up in a new way to God doing things that right now you don't see possible, but you're going to have to turn away from what's focusing your attention and to say, "How does God want to use my voice today? How does God want to give me a new voice?" Because if we will commit our lives to letting God use us any way we can be used, any way, God will give us a new voice. God will give us a new reason for living. God will give us a new hope. This is our hope. Let us pray. Lord, on this Easter Sunday, some of us are in the place with John. We're convicted of your work in this world. We celebrate that. We sing about that. It's easy for us. And we're open to how you would use us to pass that faith on to others. Some of us are with Peter. We're trying to figure out things in our life and in our world. We're not so sure about trusting you. So much doesn't make sense, but maybe this is the day to invest in the spiritual side of life like we've never done before. And to understand that that investment will be the investment that will last forever. That will be the most important thing that happens in our lives. Maybe we're with Mary. We're missing something today. We don't have someone with us. We don't have the place in life we once occupied. But maybe your invitation today is just to turn away a little bit and focus on you in a new way. And to ask God, "How do you want to use my voice? How do you want to use my place and my position and whoever I am to serve and to honor you, to encourage others, And to know as we open that door, you will open more doors for us. On this Easter day, may we turn to you to give you our lives and to know that you are a trustworthy living Savior. In Christ's name we pray, and all God's people said, amen.